as we've been enjoying this theme of faith this year so far. Our term study is with Christ in the School of Faith. And we've been enjoying just the simple thought and truth revealed in God's Word that when we get saved, God puts us back into school. But how many of you are thankful it's a different kind of school? Because we really don't want to go back to school, like the school we were in. We're thankful that God's school is different, and God is a different schoolmaster. Amen? And His school is a school of faith. And how long does that school last for? Well, it begins at salvation, and it ends when we see the Lord Jesus Christ, when our faith becomes sight. And in Hebrews chapter 11, God gives us the examples of those who graduated with a good report. They finished their course of study in the school of faith. Well, the Bible says, and these all finished with a good report. And then in Hebrews chapter 12, God tells us how we are to live as Christians in the school of faith. So this morning we're going to look at the next lesson entitled Staying on Track. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. And why don't we read verses 1 and 2? And we'll commit this morning to the Lord in prayer. Thank you for being here. And we'll pray for our Sunday school classes out the back as well. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, beginning in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. Lord, we thank you for your help. Lord, already this term to encourage us to live by faith. Thank you, Lord, that you are not only the example of our faith, but Lord, you are the person of our faith. And Lord, we can trust in your supernatural hand to lift us up, to enable us by your grace to run the race that is set before us. Lord, we pray that you would encourage us this morning once again to walk boldly and courageously through the week you have before us, and help us, Lord, to be an example to the precious young ones that are here this morning. Lord, we pray that you would bless each teacher this morning as they teach your word, as they sing godly songs, as they encourage our young people to love you and to be saved. Lord, we pray that your word would go forward, and that our children would be saved, and our children would be not only saved, but that they would have a heart, dear God, to love you and to follow you in their lives. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, in chapter 12 and verse 2, we see these wonderful words of encouragement, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Now, some of you may remember in the book of Matthew, chapter 14, the account of Peter walking on water. And as you know, Peter was famous in the Bible for speaking before he thought, speaking before he would think. And that's why Peter is often one of our favorite characters in the Bible, because he's most like you and I. You know, one preacher said he suffered with the dreaded foot-in-mouth disease. And that was Peter. But Peter also had a simplicity about him where he would simply trust the Lord. The Lord would say something to do, and he'd do it without thinking, but simply trusting. And remember the account when the disciples were in the boat on the Sea of Galilee. The Lord was praying in a mountain, And suddenly the tempest blew, the waves were roaring, and the disciples thought they would perish. And then they saw afar someone they didn't recognize, but as the Lord approached, they saw it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Peter said to the Lord, Lord, he said, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And so Peter said to the Lord, Lord, if it's really you, Lord, can I come out and walk on the water? And you know the rest of the story. Peter stepped out of the boat, and for a few moments he was walking on water. And he ought to be commended because he was the only one that stepped out of the boat. And I wonder what you and I would have done in that kind of situation. Where would our faith have been? But then, of course, we learn another wonderful lesson because of what happens next. Who can remember what happened to Peter? He started to sink. And what a wonderful example of the life of faith. You know, sometimes we step out by faith and we are doing well, but suddenly there are times where we start to sink. We start to become discouraged. Now, what was the reason that Peter began to sink? Who can remember? That's right, his faith was failing, but why? What did he do? What was he looking at? He was looking at his circumstances. That's right. Remember, the wind was boisterous. And he suddenly looked at the waves. He looked at the wind and he took his eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this wonderful account of Peter's faith, walking on water by faith, we're encouraged to remember it's so important in the Christian life to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you have experienced that when you keep your eyes on the Lord, you can walk by faith, you can run by faith, you can move forward in great ways because it's not that I'm doing something, but the Lord's doing His work through me. But as soon as I take my eyes off the Lord, suddenly life gets very scary. You become very nervous, very fearful, very discouraged, very afraid. And this lesson is about staying on track. If you and I are to run the race that is set before us and to stay on track, we need to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. A simple truth, but a life-changing truth. Amen. Looking unto Jesus. Now, just like Peter, our lives will be filled with problems. You know, those waves are there. The storms of life will be there. That doesn't change the storm, but we need to remember that there is one that is with us in the storm, the Lord Jesus. And we can supernaturally walk by faith if we keep our eyes on Him and experience His blessing and grace in the Christian life. Now, just before I give you the first blank, see the word looking. Looking unto Jesus. The word looking is a continuous, active, present tense verb. It means don't just look to Jesus once. Don't just look to Him for salvation. We are to continue every day to look unto Jesus. Actively, continually looking unto Jesus. In fact, that's what our theme for the year is, isn't it? The just shall live by faith. We are saved by faith, but we are to live by faith, looking unto Jesus. So let's stay on track this morning as we go to our first blank, Roman numeral number one. Okay, are you ready? The start and the finish. Let's learn something about the start and the finish of our race. Now, when we think of a race, we think of a start line, we think of a finish line, we think of the agony in between. Remember last week we talked about the race that God has called us to run. Is it a sprint? Is it a short distance burst of energy? Yes or no? No, it's a marathon. Remember, the word race comes from the Greek word agon. And we were reminded the word agony comes from that word. There will be times of difficulty and stress and pain anguish. Because it is a lifelong race, a marathon. And here the Bible tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he's the author of our faith. Now, what does that mean? Well, simply, he's the one that began our race. Amen? Wouldn't you agree? Christ began our life of faith. Christ began this race of faith. He's the one that set our race in motion when he saved us. He put us into his family, and he authored our faith. In fact, when we came to Christ, it is Christ who created faith in us. He's the one that drew us unto himself. On his end, he was drawing us. On our end, we had to choose, because the Bible says, whosoever will may come. There was a choice on our part, but God was drawing us, and he created faith in us, and we were lost and dead in our sins and trespasses, and he became the author of our salvation, the author of our faith. So let me encourage you, when we think of this word faith, it's not a strange, abstract, confusing idea that we can really never get a handle on. Because our faith is not a thing, our faith is in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me encourage you, when you think of the word faith, think of the Lord. He is the author of our faith. The author of our faith. And what does that mean? Well, if we are to live a life of faith, we need to look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and you might say, you know, Pastor, I'm just like you. I need to grow in my faith this year. Well, how do we do that? Well, we need to look unto Jesus. Amen. We need to grow in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it that simple? Yes, it is. Amen? Yes, it is. It's not a matter of you and I doing more and saying, all right, I'm going to do more for God. I'm going to take greater steps of faith. And, you know, if I fall, I fall. And that's just what will happen. No. We need to grow more in our relationship with the Lord. And if we love the Lord, if we trust the Lord, then he will show us what to do, what steps to take, and will enable us to stand and to move forward. That will all come to pass if we look unto Jesus. Remember, the Lord said, without me, ye can do nothing. He is the author of our faith. Notice also, he is the finisher of our faith. He is the finisher of our faith. Look at Philippians 1:6 in your notes. Can everyone see it there? All right, stay with me this morning. The Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The author and the finisher of our faith. Thank the Lord. He doesn't just save us and leave us on our own. Amen. He is with us. He goes before us. And he is waiting for us at the finish line. The Lord Jesus Christ. We are not running alone. We have faithful witnesses that are gone before us to encourage us in our race, but we are to look unto Jesus because he has finished his course. Amen. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and died on the cross to pay for your sins and mine, the Lord cried out, "It is finished." The same root word is used here for the word finish, which means to be completed, paid in full, and the Lord ran all the way to the end. He finished his course. He completed the work of salvation. And because he finished his race, he can give us all the grace we need to finish ours. But you see, it's the Lord that we need in our lives. He's the one that has promised, "Lo, I am with you always." So our faith needs to be in the Lord. You know, sometimes we struggle with just this idea of faith. You know, I haven't got faith, Pastor, really. I'm not doing much. And look, I don't have the energy. I don't have the faith. I really can't even think about how I can take those steps, which I know the Lord wants me to take. Well, it's because we've stopped looking unto Jesus. We've stopped growing in our closeness of relationship with him. That's it. You know, we're not growing in our love for him, in our trust in his word, There's a fracture in our relationship, so our faith is not developing either. Looking unto Jesus. And just a quick thought as we understand that the Lord is the start and finisher. He's the author and finisher of our faith. You know, when we think of a race, we think of a finish line. And when, as Christians, when is our finish line? That's right. When we see the Lord, amen, either in death or in the catching up of God's people. When we see the Lord, then we have reached the finish line. So He Himself, can you see what the Bible's saying? He Himself is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the person of our faith. He is the one we are to keep our eyes on and to draw close to if we are going to be able to run. Notice Roman numeral number 2, beyond the finish line. What do these verses teach us about staying on track, looking unto Jesus? Well, we need to look beyond the finish line. How did the Lord give us the great example to follow? Well, He looked beyond the finish line. The Bible says, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. So what did the Lord focus on as He endured the cross? The joy that was set before Him. Now that's important. Because remember, the race we're running is a difficult race. There will be trials, there will be agony, there will be pain, there will be suffering. That is the race we have been called to run. But remember, the Lord Jesus Christ has set the example. And on the cross He experienced terrible suffering, physical suffering. Spiritually, He was taking upon Himself the sins of all mankind. And He was separated from God the Father. You know, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And it's impossible for us to understand the full weight of Christ's suffering, but He suffered as no one else did because He is sinless God, bore the weight of the sin of mankind upon Himself, past, present, and future. The Lord suffered, and there was no joy. Would you agree in what He was experiencing? There was no joy in that suffering on the cross. In the act of His sacrifice, there was no joy, but there was joy in what was to come. Wouldn't you agree? And it's important for us to realize that's what the Lord focused on. He didn't focus on His present suffering. He focused on what was beyond the finish line. Amen? Now, why do you and I so often give up in the Christian race? Amen. We lose sight of the finish line. We lose sight of what's beyond the finish line. And we're all prone to fall. We're all prone to be discouraged and to give up running the Christian race. And the main reason that you and I so often do that is because we forget that there is a finish line. Amen. And it can come at any moment. And what is beyond the finish line? You see, for the joy that was set before Him, the Lord endured. How? Because He focused on what His sacrifice would accomplish. The book of Hebrews tells us that by one offering, in Hebrews 10, by one sacrifice, He would perfect forever them that are sanctified. Amen? By one sacrifice, one offering. There was no joy in the pain and the suffering of that sacrifice, but Christ looked forward to knowing that His atonement, His blood payment would redeem all who would come to Him. That's an amazing truth and a helpful one for us, isn't it? Because as we look unto Jesus, what do we see? We see a suffering Savior who finished His course with joy, who went to the cross with joy. Let me encourage you, when you're discouraged, when you feel like dropping out of the race, look unto Jesus. Amen. He is with us. He has set the greatest example. And we need to focus on what's after the finish line. Well, what is after the finish line? Well, one day we will see Him face to face. And do you remember, church family, what did we learn about heaven? Amen. No pain, no sorrow, no agony, no sin. Amen? Praise God. And not only that, but that we may run well and win the prize. Amen? Run well and win the prize. What motivates the marathon runner to keep going? I guarantee it's not the present pain he's going through. He doesn't enjoy. He's not some sadistic person that loves the pain. We might say that. He goes, that guy must be crazy. Well, in a worldly sense, they're looking forward to getting to the finish line because they know they're getting somewhere. They're moving forward. There is an end. Church family, there is a finish line. You may not think it's coming, and sometimes when we find ourselves in trials, we may think they never end. You know, have you ever been in a situation that you thought, well, this feels like it's never going to end? There is no end to this. You know, I remember school was like that. When I was in high school and even in primary school, you know, in our school in Canberra, we had to wear shorts in primary school because that's what the brothers said we had to wear. Seniors wore pants, juniors wore shorts, and in winter time, it was like 3 degrees when I went out to the bus. So I pulled my socks up as high as I could and I was freezing and I thought to myself, I can't wait until I finish this thing called school and get out of here because this is insane. And year after year, it seemed like school would never end. But how many of you remember finishing and getting to that final year, whatever that final year was? And suddenly you realized, this is it. No more school. Almost like a revelation, you know. I can't believe I've reached the end. And now I'm in the final year and there's no going back. You know, that's somewhat what it will be like for us as Christians when the Lord comes. This is it. The race is done. How many of you are thankful you didn't quit? Amen? In school. You didn't give up. Now, maybe we did, but that's all right. That's school. We're talking about the school of faith. This is much more important. Amen? To continue to press forward. To continue to run the race that is set before us. My friends, there's a great reward beyond the finish line. So let me encourage you this week as you go through difficulties and trials, be like the Lord. Okay, there might not be any joy in what you are experiencing right now, but it will come. Amen? Focus on that which is beyond the finish line. Roman numeral number 3. We need to understand that God has called us to endurance, not only enjoyment. Your blank is the word enjoyment. Endurance, not only enjoyment. See, the Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him, what's the next word? Endured the cross. See, the Lord Jesus endured the cross. Now, could the Lord have stopped his suffering at any moment? Yes or no? Yes. In fact, the Bible tells us if he wanted to, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he could have brought more than 60,000 angels down to rescue him if he wanted to, if he so chose to. But he did not. In all of his power, he could have said, like you and I often do, I've had enough. This is it. And I don't want to do this anymore. Done. And he would have been delivered. But the Bible says he endured the cross. Why did he do that? For the joy that was set before him. Amen? For the joy that was set before him. And that includes you and I. We are his joy. Amen? Purchased souls. His joy. Children of God. And so we understand that the Lord endured. And when, as we look unto Jesus and we understand the race he wants us to run, we need to understand that life is not all about enjoyment. Now, don't get me wrong, there's great joy in the Christian life and there is great enjoyment. And the Lord never says that there is no joy. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. But then there are times where it seems like there is no joy. And just in our trial that we're facing, we may say, well, what's the joy in this? And we need to remember during those times that God calls us to endure. to endure. Life is not all about enjoyment, it is about endurance. You know, the Lord didn't enjoy everything in His life, did He? Least of all, the cross. Just have a look at the account of Christ praying in the garden. You know what He said to God the Father in His humanity. And we understand that the Lord did not enjoy the cross, but He endured. Let me encourage you, church family, to endure the trials, the race that is set before us. See, we need to endure the race the same way the Lord Jesus endured His, by focusing on what is waiting at the finish line. Enduring, enduring. Well, I'm not enjoying this right now. Well, that's okay, because the Lord is with you. The Lord is with me. And He can give us the grace to endure our present suffering. Amen? Remember, suffering is just for a season, for a purpose, for the Lord's purpose in our lives, to help us to grow in faith. And if the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Bible says, was made perfect through sufferings, then how much more you and I, in order that we may grow in faith. So we need the Lord to stretch us, to help us, to grow us. And endurance is part of it. That's why the Lord uses the word race. Amen? The Lord knows what He's saying when He describes the Christian life. It's a race. I remember when we ran cross-country races at school, I never looked forward to them because it included pain, it included difficulty, and it wasn't always like that. You know, you start off well, just like we start off well in the Christian life, but about halfway, it gets tough. And that's usually when the testing time kicks in, amen? Am I going to slack off? Am I going to give up? Where am I going to get my strength from? Who am I going to run with? Am I going to look at those who are running well, or I'm going to slack off at the back of the line, amen, with my mates who don't care and have given up and have a bad attitude? You know, who am I going to run with? And you know, that's like the Christian race. But the finish line is there, amen, and it's coming up. And we need to make sure, as God's people, we endure. We endure because we have a supernatural helper, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. He sets the race for each of us that is set before us. And endurance is a part of it. Notice the Bible says quickly, He despised the shame. He despised the shame. You see, there was great shame in the cross. The Lord was humbled. He was mocked. He was humiliated on the cross as God in the flesh. But the Bible says He despised the shame. That means that He literally thought the shame was nothing. Why is that? Is it because the pain did not hurt? Yes or no? No, the pain did hurt. The accusations against Him were absolutely wicked and foul and abominable. But the Lord humbled Himself, the Bible says, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, because the Lord humbled Himself, the shame He faced was nothing. And there will be times that you and I will face opposition in the Christian life. There will be times that there will be pain and trials in our life where people will criticize you and treat us unfairly. But we need to humble ourselves and realize that the Lord Jesus Christ, He humbled Himself. Amen? He humbled Himself and He realized that the joy that was set before Him was greater than the present shame He was experiencing. Because let me say this, in eternity, will it mean anything at all? Will it mean anything at all? Those criticisms, those accusations, that opposition you faced in this life, will it mean anything at all in eternity? Nothing. But we will face them, you see? But we need to be careful not to be so discouraged that we stop running the race. When we are opposed, when we feel shamed, by those who oppose us. You see, the Lord despised the shame. It was so meaningless to Him because of the greatness of the joy that was set before Him. And that's why we need to have an eternal perspective. That's why we need to look unto Jesus. He's waiting for us at the heavenly finish line. Amen. And any accusation and opposition and ridicule that comes your way ought to be nothing in the light of eternity. What are we to do? Endure. Amen. We are to endure. We are to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean it won't hurt. But don't let the opposition that comes your way stop you from running the race. And in enduring the cross, the Lord gave us a wonderful example. Lastly, crossing the finish line. Your last blank, crossing the finish line. The Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him, in verse 2, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Bible tells us that Christ finished his race. Amen. The Lord finished his race. He was set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And the Lord returned to heaven. His suffering was over. And the Lord's example is given here to remind us that one day our suffering will be over. Amen? It's just like a race. Okay, you may not feel right now that the finish line will ever come, but it will. Because it's a race. The finish line will come, and it'll come before you know it. You know, just like running a race back in school. You thought, well, I'll never get to the end, but finally you turn the corner and there it is. Amen? It's in sight. And before you know it, you've crossed the line and you collapse and you're at rest finally. And you're thankful that it's over and rejoicing. When you and I cross the end finish line, brethren, we will be rejoicing for all eternity. And we will be more so thankful if we did not stop running the race. Amen? We'll all get to the finish line, whether we run the race or not. But in heaven, we'll be rejoicing if we run the race with patience, if we continue in the things of God, if we continue to set our eyes upon the Lord and the joy that is set before us. And nothing will be compared to the eternal rewards that are ahead. Now, we learned about these things last year, so I won't cover them again this morning. But how do we stay on track? By looking unto Jesus. Amen? By looking unto Jesus. When we can't see a way out of our trials, what do we need to do? To look unto Jesus. When we have a difficult day at work, what's the solution? To look unto Jesus. When we are persecuted and accused and rejected by those whom we love the most, in fact, those whom we so desire to be saved, we need to look unto Jesus. Amen. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's endurance. And what do we do when other people let us down and when we don't know how to handle the problems at hand? Well, we need to look unto Jesus. Now, if we do, we can keep running and we will finish our course with joy. Amen? That's how we stay on track. Just some simple thoughts. But this week, let me encourage you to run the race of faith by growing closer to the person of our faith, the Lord. There's no such thing as being a person of faith and really not having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not faith, that's unbelief. That's self, help, me, myself and I, doing the best I can. That's not living by faith. Amen? We live by faith the same way we were saved, casting ourselves upon the grace and mercies of the Lord. By grace are ye saved by faith. By grace are ye to live by faith. Amen. In the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, looking unto Jesus.